Guardians of Gaia, Chapter 11. Bryn, Nyala, El, and Hunter drove through the night, arriving at the clinic just as the sun was coming up. Sean was waiting at the gate when they arrived. He approached the car's window and instructed Hunter to drive to the center of the gardens to hide the car from the road. He spoke to Hunter in a low voice. From the back seat, El could not make out what the two men were talking about, but she could tell it was serious. She could see Hunter in the rearview mirror. His brow was furrowed, and his responses short. Hunter pulled the car into the garden, and the four exited the vehicle. Bryn ran to Sean, who was now focused on his thoughts to show any real affection. The group made their way to the cabin. Once outside, he addressed the group. The guard has already been here looking for Nyala. They arrived last night demanding her whereabouts. He stopped briefly to gather his thoughts before continuing. They brought all the residents into the dining hall and offered a reward for any information that could lead them to her. They also stated that they would return tomorrow evening and begin punishing residents for not speaking. What did they mean by punishments? Asked Bryn. They did not say, but they brought Bart, the soldier who revealed Nyala's location to Silas. The soldier paraded him around. He was severely beaten and had the word snitch carved into his forehead, added Sean. Nyala snorted. That makes no sense. Why would they beat and humiliate the man that gave them the information they were looking for? Because he confessed his mistake to me, he allowed me to get a head start, to warn Bryn and Sean and you, Hunter interjected. When everyone in their party fell silent, Nyala began to pound her fist on the table. There's an easier solution to all of this. Let me turn myself in. Bryn snapped at the idea. We will not allow you to do that. We will have until tomorrow to come up with something. Elle did not know what to think. She did not want Nyala in danger, but she knew innocent lives could be saved if she did turn herself in. She also believed attempting to keep Nyala from turning herself in was not realistic. She was not the type to hide and allow others to take the fall for her. No, we have until tonight, Sean reminded her. It was last night when they came. This is ridiculous. I can take care of myself. Silas will not harm me. He wants something from me. Let me end this before anyone else gets hurt, explained Nyala in a more even tone than before. Hunter shook his head. No, Nyala. Silas has been wanting a reason to destroy the clinic for months. I'm certain the bombs on his truck were part of his plan to destroy this place all along. If you go, it's not going to stop him from going after the people who helped you. He wants to make an example out of us. Elle felt compelled to interrupt. Something Nyala said was weighing on her. What does he want from you? The entire room fell quiet as the other three adults realized Nyala had dropped a verbal bomb in her statement that they had missed. Nyala squeezed her hands into fists and exhaled loudly before beginning. When I left, Silas was working on a device that would allow him to modify the weather. It was just a theory, but they were building a prototype. His communication towers would allow this technology to have a central location and could be control all of its satellites. Why weather? Hunter asked. Nyala paused before continuing. It's the perfect villain, because it unifies people in a way that conflicting ideologies do not. The weather also has a profound effect on people's moods and behaviors. He will have the ability to create chaos. He will also have the resources to rise as the lone leader. Why does he need you? El asked, beginning to see the bigger picture. Because I designed it, and it's only meant to serve as an amplification device, Nyala responded. Amplify what? El continued. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, responded Nyala, sounding almost as if she were singing. I got us into this, and I can get us out. I want you to trade me for Ava. They may not know that she is capable of powering the device as well. We need to free her before they figure that out. This time it was Sean who spoke. We can all argue all day, but it doesn't change a thing. We've got to get the residents out of here and give them a fighting chance. They know what Silas is capable of. If his true plan is to rise as a hero in the face of a natural disaster, he does not plan on letting anyone in those two white buildings live. We need to quickly and quietly evacuate. What do we need to do? Nyala asked. We've already begun loading the sick and injured into vehicles to be transported to Eklund. We have a few trucks and an old school bus to transport others. Hunter, I feel it's best if you handle the transport. Nyala and Elle will go with you. When Sean was done talking, he took a sip of tea and waited for the others to respond. After Hunter and Nyala agreed to the plan, he continued. We've asked those who are healthy to gather their things and make their way into the city. There's a clinic and an urban farm operating out east who has agreed to take in our refugees. Bryn, you will go with Elena to this outpost and make sure everyone gets settled in. Elle thought of the ride to Eklund and the people at the clinic. She knew there were some too ill to be moved that far. What about those who were too sick to survive the trip? Sean looked down. I will stay with them. Bryn shook her head, tears once again spilling down her cheeks. If we pull this off and they find you here, she trailed off. This time he addressed only her. Bryn, we've worked entirely too hard. I cannot leave these people with no defense and no care. He wrapped his arms around her and whispered so only she could hear. Hannah needs you, he said. They allowed themselves to sit quietly for several minutes, silently reviewing their own individual duties. Sean was the first to stand. He went to the door and waited for the others to exit before following. He called Nyella back into the room, asking to speak to her alone. As soon as she crossed the threshold, Hunter paused, blocking her from the exit. Nyella quickly understood why her brother-in-law had called her back. She raised her fist and threatened to hit Hunter if he did not get out of her way. Hunter stood firm as she beat her small fist into his chest. He allowed this to continue just shy of a minute before capturing her wrist. He pulled her hands behind her back and forced her onto the sofa. She screamed and kicked at the two men. Sean stood over her holding a rope, which he then used to bind her wrist. Nyella struggled against the sturdy cord, but was left little wiggle room. Sean then placed a towel around her mouth and tied it from behind. Nyella was surrendering to the situation, but did not stop her from crying. Elle held onto Bryn's shoulder as she wept. Sean sat beside Nyella, exhausted from the struggle. I'm sorry, but I know you. This is the only way I can stop you from turning yourself in. Nyella kicked her legs as Hunter lifted her over his shoulder. Sean motioned for Elle to follow them. The three of them walked with Nyella to the horse trailer just outside the stables near the back of the clinic's property. We need you to keep an eye on Nyella, he explained. Elle nodded. She was slightly annoyed by the task, knowing helping with the evacuation was a better use of her time. But she also knew her cousin could not be trusted to stay calm and silent should Silas choose to show up. Nor could they guarantee that she would not attempt to sneak out and go for him. And so they understood the importance of the job she'd been assigned. Nyella threw her shoulder against the door of the trailer as Sean secured the lock. You bring this upon yourself, he hollered before handing Elle this small pistol. The color drained from her face. She could not imagine what she would want to do with this gun. He placed his hand on either side of Elle's face. Elle, he stated, this is only for firing warning shots. If he comes and she gets out, I want you to create a distraction and let us know she is on her way. We have to keep the radios clear. It's likely they're listening in. You'll be just fine. Elle was confused and impressed by his positivity and clear head in a situation like this. Ever since they arrived at the clinic, Sean behaved thoughtfully and efficiently. Hunter, on the other hand, appeared apprehensive and apologetic about locking Nyella up. She's never going to trust me again, he said, placing his hand on the trailer. Nyella mumbled something which was inaudible but fueled by anger. She threw her shoulder against the wall of the trailer. She was hollering obscenities which caused the corners of Hunter's mouth to turn down even more. Sean placed his hand on the soldier's shoulder. It's for her own good, he said in a serious tone. There's work to be done. With that, Sean began walking towards the two white buildings where people were already beginning to be loaded into trucks and trailers, some choosing to flee on their own. Elle sat on a small rock outside the horse trailer. From where she sat, she could see people busily organizing their things as they prepared to leave the clinic. However, very few people had actually departed. It was almost as if, though, nobody wanted to leave until they knew everyone was safe. This small gesture warmed Elle's heart. While she sat, Nyella tried everything from bribing her cousin to squeezing herself through the small window when she thought her cousin was distracted. For Elle, the last 12 hours had been surreal. She'd gone from experiencing deep relaxation with Hef beside the river to overwhelming feelings of gloom and fear. A part of her felt like she was feelings belonged to her, and a part felt as though Nyella was radiating these same emotions so intensely that she was absorbing them from her cousin. It took everything in her not to unlock the door and help with the evacuation herself. But she knew now, by her cousin's behavior, Nyella would immediately run and turn herself in. She finally gave up and sat against the door of the trailer. Elle leaned against the other side, separated from her cousin by a When Nyella wasn't yelling, she was easily understood through the towel meant to silence her. Don't be, she stated, before letting out an exhausted sigh. This is all my fault, all of it, she trailed off. Elle remained silent. She knew there was nothing she could say to alleviate the guilt her cousin felt. But she also knew Nyella never shared her feelings, and so she allowed her to speak. Bryn, Ren, and Ava build things, create them, and make them grow. I only know how to destroy them. Nyella's voice cracked, and Elle wondered if she was finally beginning to break down. She sniffled loudly one more time before growing quiet. Elle wondered if she'd closed herself off again. Elle's heart ached for the girl on the other side of the thin metal wall, who she knew acted with the best of intentions. She wanted to comfort her, but could not find the words. It was not her fault. Nobody blamed Nyala for Silas's actions, but she was the one who first came to know him. She was the one to destroy his communication towers. She was the one who helped him rise to power and designed destructive devices for him. She was the one who broke his heart. Even if everyone else forgot, Elle knew Nyala would never be able to forgive herself. Their silence was interrupted by a loud, familiar roar of the guards' trucks. Everybody in the courtyard immediately stopped what they were doing and turned their focus to the gate. The two girls watched as several guardsmen climbed out of the second vehicle. Silas was with them. He nodded, and the soldiers began to gather all of the adults into a large group, forcing the children back into the white building. More guards arrived and began to surround the fearful residents. Sean stood at the front. Silas held a megaphone and began to address the crowd. "I gave you time to do the right thing. It only takes one brave soul to surrender the coward that destroyed your communication towers and my trucks," he spoke calmly in the speaker. Elle was surprised by his dark charisma. His booming voice echoed, captivating the audience. Not a single person moved. It was so quiet, even from where Elle helplessly watched. She could hear the sound of his boot crushing the dry grass as he walked casually through the crowd. He then pulled a large handgun out of the holster on his hip. "No one? No one?" he stated as he waved the weapon in the air. "This is shameful. You've given me no choice." He held the gun and pointed it at Sean's head. Bryn let out a panic squeal, but was silenced from a stern look from her husband. She held her breath as Silas then moved the gun to his kneecap and fired. Sean managed to maintain his silence, but fell to the ground in a pool of blood, gripping the space where the bullet had entered his leg. Hunter rushed from the crowd. "Silas," he yelled, holding his own pistol 2 inches from the general's face. Silas's black eyes flickered as he began to laugh. "Of course you're here," Silas spat as he addressed Hunter. "Do it," he stated menacingly. "I dare you. Prove to me that you're not the lovesick coward that I think you are. Prove to me that you're a man." The second guard stepped behind Hunter and knocked him to his knees with a rifle. Silas moved to the back of Hunter and pressed the end of his own gun into the back of Hunter's head. "See what happens to a traitor?" Silas yelled into the megaphone. He cocked the gun and continued, only this time addressing Nyala. "I know you're here. Nobody else has to die. Not even this pathetic excuse for a soldier." Elle looked through the small window of the trailer. She could no longer see or hear her cousin. She ran to the back and let out a reassuring exhale as she realized the door remained locked. She turned around and placed her back against the door when she observed a small funnel cloud of dust and rocks heading towards her. She closed her eyes as the dirt particles surrounded her, blowing her away from the locked doors. When she opened her eyes, she was lying 10 feet from the trailer, which is now turned over and open. Nyala was nowhere in sight. Elle crawled to the gun that had blown out of her hand and fired a warning shot, which was several seconds too late. Nyala was quickly making her way through the crowd of people towards Silas. The crowd parted, allowing the enraged girl complete access to the general. "Silas," she shouted, "this ends now. I'm here. It's me you want. Let's end this. Let's end this," she repeated her final phrase over and over again as she made her way to the general. Her hands were balled into fists as she came face to face with her tormentor. She got onto her knees and placed her hands behind her head. Elle ran through the crowd, stopping when she reached Bryn. Silas hit Hunter over the head with his own gun, knocking him unconscious, and made his way towards Nyala. Before he could reach her, however, the young woman she had saved the night they arrived at the clinic slowly and confidently walked in front of her cousin, creating a barrier between she and the general. The young woman held out her hands open at her sides, palms up as though she was embracing him for a hug. The gesture threw Silas off, allowing two other people time to unite hands with the brave young woman, protecting the one who brought them to the safe and stable clinic when they'd all but given up hope. Nyala began to panic and began to fight her way through the protective crowd, which was closing in around her. Two of the clinic's workers captured Nyala and began to drag her away from Silas's gun. The reaction of the residents enraged the general. He lifted his weapon and fired 2 shots into the head of the woman Nyala had saved. Nyala screamed as the crowd, weaponless but filled with rage, began to advance towards Silas. He retreated to his vehicle as the soldiers shot into the angry mob. Dozens of people fell as the crowd began to disperse. Elle watched as Bryn pushed her way towards Sean as Nyala, who had freed herself from the grasp of the clinic workers, advanced towards Silas, screaming, "Take me. You came for me, you coward." Soldiers began forcing people into the white buildings. Some scattered, but a few got away as the heavily armed guards surrounded them. Elle felt helpless and out of control. She was not sure if she should run towards her family to help the fallen residents. She looked around at the surrounding chaos when she heard two loud pops ring out in the direction of the two white buildings. She turned in horror to see the two structures go up in flames. Without thinking, she ran towards the building closest to her and began to fight through the fire to get to the side door. But the flames and the heat they gave off was burning the building at an alarming rate. She wrapped her hands around the handle of the side door. The metal burned her hands, but she maintained her grip, forcing it open. People rushed from the exit, which began to clog with bodies of people who had fallen due to smoke inhalation or being trampled. Elle worked to pull the fallen people from the entryway, but struggled to keep up with the advancing crowd. She could hear screams coming from one building. She was also taking in a lot of smoke and felt lightheaded. When she fell to her knees, a man pulled her up and carried her from the chaos to where Aunt Elena stood. They watched helplessly as the building burst into flames. She stood with her family and the volunteers and the residents who made it out of the burning structures. They watched helplessly as the buildings burned and the last remaining screams faded. Silas and his guards filed into trucks, leaving what was left of the clinic in a state of chaos. Led by Bryn, the volunteers worked to save who they could. Without the supplies, they were unable to help those who had been shot. There was no longer any stalling. Those who survived began to flee from the clinic, some in vehicles and others on foot. Those who were too injured to leave on their own were packed into trucks to be transported to Eklund. When the dust settled and the smoke cleared, not much remained. The two white buildings were now two concrete shells with hollow centers that smelled of burnt flesh. Much of the gardens had also been burned, leaving the cabin as the only evidence of the once thriving community. Even though his kneecap was shattered, Sean worked through the night, helping Bryn treat those with minor injuries with the few supplies that he had stored in the cabin. Elle stayed with Hannah as Nayla worked with the other volunteer to bury the bodies that had not burned. Elle watched her cousin from the window. At one point, Hunter walked towards Nayla and attempted to take the shovel from her and take over the digging. She glared at him, refusing to let him help her. This time, he did not give in to her protest. He forced the shovel from her hands. When he did, she used both of her hands to push him. He remained planted where he stood, allowing her to hit him repeatedly in the pectoral muscles, but did not flinch or attempt to stop her. He dropped the shovel and allowed her to beat him until she was too exhausted to continue. She fell forward into his chest. He caught her and held on. She resisted his embrace for several seconds longer before melting into his arms. Elle watched as he held her for several seconds, feeling grateful for his continued adoration and commitment to Nayla. Elle turned and focused her attention on the red-headed child she was watching. Hannah played completely unaware of everything that was going on around her. At that moment, Elle thought about Bryn or Nayla. She could not imagine what they were feeling right now. They have now watched the destruction of the university where they both found solace after Ava's disappearance, and the destruction of the clinic, a manifestation of their own dreams, hard work, and sweat. Elle knew she would just be in the way if she tried to help Bryn tend to the injured. She also felt an alarming amount of fear. Whenever she approached one of the bodies, she felt strong tingling in the base of her spine. She feared her discomfort would elevate to searing pain like it did the day she observed the woman on the street corner if she moved closer to the destruction. Instead, she focused her attention on caring for Hannah, the miracle infant. She closed her eyes and tried to imagine the life Hannah would live if she were to grow up under Silas's rule. She understood for the first time what evil looks like and how it behaves. She picked up the child and sat her on her lap. Hannah wrapped her arms around the neck of her caregiver. Elle held on to the child with tears in her eyes. "I love you," she whispered to the child, who now placed her head on her chest. Elle held Hannah until she fell asleep. She laid her on the bearskin rug in front of the fire. She then silently made her way to the two white buildings. Inside, the smell was toxic. Elle covered her mouth with a handkerchief Hef had given her the day before at the river. She held it over her nose and mouth. The scent Hef left on the handkerchief did well to mask the odor of the chemicals and burning flesh. Elle surveyed the scene inside. Little was left of everything Bryn and Sean had built. There were charred skeletons still lying in metal frames on clinic beds, their faces contorted. It was evident that they died in extreme pain. To her surprise, the tingling in the base of her spine faded. Instead, a wave of crippling sadness began to pour over her. Like the tingling, this feeling originated at the base of her spine, where it made its way up each vertebrae, eventually crashing over her shoulders and completely submerging her body. She felt like she was suffocating or drowning. She dropped to her knees and began to take slow, deep breaths, which were becoming increasingly hard to take. She felt her heart rate increase and her palms become clammy. Her own thoughts were being replaced by the sound of people screaming. She tried to out to them. You're going to be okay. You're okay, I promise, she whispered. Elle remained on the ground until she felt two arms grab her from behind, drawing her away from the voices and into the dark reality of where she was. She felt exhausted and struggled to move her limbs. A part of her wanted to fall asleep, and a part of her wanted to stay with the screaming souls, and so she worked to keep her eyes open. Then she felt her body being pulled from the building. Her feet were no longer on the floor. She was being carried. Once outside, she was able to open her eyes. Sean was holding her. His eyebrows were bent inward in a look of genuine concern. His face was covered in black soot, and he was sweating and breathing deeply. "Are you okay?" he said. His knee was bandaged, but blood was continuing to seep through. Elle shook her head. She was okay. Of course she was okay. She had not been in the fire. She had not been shot. She pulled away, feeling embarrassed. She stumbled backwards and finally found her footing. "I'm fine," she said, stepping back. "I'm sorry," he said. "I was in the building, too, when I heard someone screaming." "I'm fine," she responded dismissively. The weird sensation had happened again, only this time terror outweighed any pain she'd experienced. Elle felt as though she'd been transported somewhere else, but she could not put her feelings into words. Even if she could, she did not want to add to Sean's current stress. "Thanks," she said. "I'm sorry. I think I just need to go for a walk. Can you do me a favor?" He nodded. "Don't tell Bryn about this. I don't know what happened, and I don't want her to worry," Elle responded. Sean looked at Elle with a concerned expression on her face. "Elle, you're white as a ghost and shaking. You passed out. I'd hardly say you're okay." "Trust me, Bryn doesn't need to know right now. When things settle and calm down, I will talk to her about it, I promise," Elle explained. "Tomorrow, you will tell her tomorrow, or I will. I do not keep anything from her." His expression was hard, and Elle understood that he was serious. Elle nodded. "Can I help you back to the cabin?" she asked Sean, who was now holding onto his injured knee. "I just need a moment," he responded, clenching his jaw in agony. "I should go and get Bryn," Elle responded, looking around to see who else was in the vicinity. "No, don't," Sean stated, placing his hand on Elle's shoulder for support. "I'm heading back in. There's little to be done here," he continued, looking defeated. Elle watched him unsuccessfully make his way towards the cabin before she turned back and walked towards the gardens. Her feet began to move quicker, and before she knew it, she was running. When she arrived at a small clearing, she fell to her knees, feeling nauseous. She quickly became ill, dispelling the undigested food onto the ground. When she was done, she took the flask from her hip and rinsed out her mouth. She then grabbed a handful of mint and began to chew on it before lying in the soft earth. She closed her eyes to see if she could once again enter the space where she had heard the screaming. She breathed deeply. With an exhale, she relaxed even deeper. The world around her began to fade into darkness. This time, she did not hear screaming, but instead a soft whimper of a young woman's cries. She saw a flash of blonde curls lying on a hard concrete surface. All of a sudden, it dawned on her. The flash she saw, the crying she heard, belonged to her sister. Elle began to panic. Were they too late? Was this the reason she saw Ava in the same realm of the screams? Because she was no longer living? Even though the idea paralyzed her, she knew in her heart that it was not true. She tried to bring the picture back into her mind. When the image once again flashed in front of her, she felt compelled to call out. "Ava," she whispered, "is that you?"